Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly. In today's podcast, I'm speaking with Rowan Barry, Director of Consulting at BoxEver, a Sitecore company. Welcome to the show, Rowan.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Tell me a little bit about your background before we jump straight into the kind of topics today, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so I guess first things first, I'm not an analyst. I completed a degree in marketing in DIT. It did have a few modules on stats with some kind of hands-on experience of SPSS and other stats packages, but kind of data in particular, customer data and consumer data was really kind of interesting part of the course for me. So that's where I kind of got my my grow for data. I'm a bit of a nerd at heart, and I kind of like to generate insights from data where possible. And kind of how I got to where I am today. So I came from college. I went in to join a company called Dunnombi in 2008, and they run Tesco's club card and a lot of other international companies' club card data, and then all the mails you get around coupons and what relevant coupons you get. And I worked for those, for Dunnombi in UK and Ireland in commercial roles, mostly helping Tesco make better decisions using data. So that was things like price elasticity for things like pricing and promotions, general product and category performance, and then merchandising and ranging. So that those are the concepts where you want to have as much choice as possible the smaller the store you go into. So which products do you take off the shelf as you get into a smaller store, and looking at substitute products, and use quite a lot of AI in understanding whether someone is going to buy switch from maybe 2 liters of organic milk. Would they switch into 2 1-liter organic milks, or switch into 2 liters of milk, and then understand what products we could take away as we got smaller. And then I moved into digital personalization, there we were, my team were the team who built out recommender systems for things like My Usuals or Promotions For You, or looking at cross sells and upsell recommenders for things like grocery pickers. So one of the examples we have of that, which I think is a nice one, is we had some of the people who would pick groceries, English may not be their first language. And we had one of the senior executives in Tesco, when he had ordered Christmas crackers, and the Christmas crackers weren't available, they got a box of Cars crackers as the substitute product. And where that is a human issue of language, data can help you understand what the next best product should be when you think about substituting products. And so we built out a substitute recommender for when certain products weren't available, what was the most likely next best choice. And so a lot of that kind of work in Tesco and in Dunnombi gave me a really good grounding in data, and more specifically using data for supporting business decisions. And it showed me the importance of kind of keeping focused as well on activating data and helping and using it to help solve real world problems. And then in 2014, I joined BoxEver, which is where I am today. I joined BoxEver to build out a product team and the processes that we built up. And as with most startups, I've had a few roles around BoxEver in product and product marketing and sales. And now I'm leading the consultancy practice, which is kind of working hands-on with brands like Emirates and Ryanair and AIB, Qatar, Jetstar, Lingus, Irish Life, with all of their customer experience initiatives. And maybe we'll talk about a bit about that in the later sections.
So thank you for that. Kind of a smile came to my face thinking about the benefits of a recommendation engine, but sometimes they don't necessarily always get it right too. But I'll leave that for a different podcast. Would you tell us a little bit about BoxEver and some of the problems that you look to solve there?
Yeah, so for anyone who's not familiar with BoxEver, our clients buy BoxEver to use data to help make their customer interactions smarter. So for anyone who is in the market, it'd be classified as a digital optimization platform. And it'll be a combination of a CDP, which is a customer data platform, with decisioning experiences and optimization products kind of built on top of that. And if there's people listening and that sounds like jargon, in kind of more normal speak, enterprise brands buy BoxEver to improve their customer experience for their end users. So they use BoxEver to deploy A/B tests and make those recommendations and deploy the recommendations or the next best actions on things like their websites, their apps, their emails, their call centers. Essentially, wherever a customer engages with a brand, our clients use Boxever to improve that experience using data and AI. And when I do say that, something that often comes to mind is about data aggregation and data sharing, but it's important to know that Boxever is a multi-tenanted SaaS-based deployment. And what that means is that it's fully in the cloud and there's no data sharing between our customers. So all of our customers are just using their own first-party data to improve their customer experience.
And that kind of ties me into my next question, is the type of problems that you're working on.
Yeah, so we do actually, we do quite a lot of, people buy Boxever essentially for a number of reasons, but the primary reasons they buy Boxever is for real-time customer behavior. So we're known for using first-party data in real-time, and most of our case studies are around that. So using things like current session behavior to improve recommendations, so the things you view, the products you view, the searches you make, what's in your cart, all of those things are used to make real-time recommendations and to determine intent as quick as possible. And then we also use people deploy models within Boxever, so running things like recommenders through Boxever and activating them into those digital channels, or using models outside of Boxever. So maybe our customers have a propensity to purchase model and they want to deploy that. And one of the quickest ways to deploy it is through Boxever. And we have a set of features that allow them to safely deploy it and run things like A/B tests on it. But it's a way for them to get those models up and out into the hands of our customers. Those are the types of problems that we try to solve.
Tell us a little bit about your team and some of the work you do.
Yeah, so I guess the biggest problems that our clients are trying to solve is that first party data, and we've implemented this consultancy practice within Boxever. So that's the team that I lead, and we kind of focus on two things. The first is about enablement, and then the second is about customer analytics. So the enablement is about helping our customers understand how they could run a CX program and how they could use data to improve their customer experience. So that's things like workshops on operational models, who you need to hire, what processes they should be doing and following, what artifacts they should be generating, all the way through to generation of ideas, the prioritization and definition and deployment of those ideas. So really that kind of enablement for how you should run these programs. And the second part of the team is focused on customer analytics, and that covers a few areas like measuring performance. So find and highlight behavioral trends, look at segments, look at cohorts and changes and how those might provide opportunities, doing things like customer journey mapping, building cluster segmentations and propensity models for customers. And those are the kind of the two main focuses of the consultancy practice within Boxever. And then there's a wider teams, and they then focus on things like taking those insights from the data and generating ideas, ultimately deploying tests, recommenders, and models. So we sit as part of the services team, but a small cog.
Tell us, so for the novices listening in, can you tell us some of the case studies, some real life examples that people could kind of start to get their head around?
Yeah, so we work across both, I'd say, marketing, conversion, and services. So if I think about it as a customer journey point of view, you want to kind of market to people first and get them onto their website. And so we do a few things in the paid media space where we provide the ability to use that first party data in tools like Facebook and Google Ads and in other ad tech providers to use that first party data to better target. And that could be inclusion or suppression. And then we also do work with some their email systems. So our customers' email systems to improve the relevance of the emails that they're sending. So for example, they might send 5 email templates before they use Boxever, and every Tuesday they send an email to 1,000 people, and it's 5 email templates that go out. So roughly, people get 1 of 5 communications. But with Boxever, they have the ability to have 1 template which dynamically populates. So the email is kind of fully unique to each individual. So we aim for 98-99% uniqueness rate for those emails, so that the offers and the recommendations and the content of those emails are personal to the individual who's receiving them. And then in the conversion space, we look at things like recommenders to show you interesting products. And it's interesting because you can also make a recommendation for someone to buy something or not to buy something. So some of the content we've recently been looking at is around making a recommendation that someone doesn't engage with the product. And we've got a few white papers looking at responsible gambling, for example, where you actually need to make a recommendation that someone doesn't engage. And that can be as equally important as recommending that someone does engage and buy a product. And so those use cases are really something really interesting, which I think is well worth doing and well worth engaging with. A really good use of AI, I would say, in recommendation systems. And then in more complex cases in the conversion space around things like dynamic pricing or retailing in general can become very complex when you start looking at, again, price elasticity, availability of products and using data to solve those problems. And then finally, service, where we look at things like voice of the customer. So gathering data from a customer to understand whether they were engaging with the brand positively or negatively and how that affects their overall experience with the brand, or doing things like call center deflection into the digital channels. So for example, you might have in the travel space, it works very well, where when a plane is canceled or a flight is canceled, you don't want everyone calling the call center. You need them to kind of engage with you digitally to manage their booking. And that can be an improved experience because being on hold for a call center is a bad experience. So using data to try and solve those problems.
They were really, really good examples. So thank you for that. When you think about automating manual tasks and allowing people to do better work, there's a real opportunity here that people may not be aware of.
Yeah, I think one of the advantages of AI and ML and the whole space of kind of data is just its ability to let you scale your business and scale your interactions. So primarily using AI is essentially the only way that you can efficiently scale the concept of relevant customer interactions. You could do it with people, but for companies like Emirates or for companies like Ryanair or these kind of businesses need a scalable platform, and you can't necessarily scale those with people, and you can't scale them efficiently with people either. Like if for example a flight is cancelled, you can't just magic up people in the call center to take care of that for you. I believe it's the only way to kind of efficiently scale. And then secondly, I think it's a great opportunity to use AI to run things like tests. And so it's partly about scale and partly about speed. But the ability to deploy at speed and then to run tests at speed and learn at speed, I think AI and ML and those type of tools really provide you the ability to scale and to move faster. And that's what enterprise-grade businesses, they really need that capability.
The final question is, where do you see the future of personalization going to?
Yes, it's an interesting one because I guess if there was a predictive model for it, it would be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but that doesn't exist. So I think there's a couple of factors which we all probably need to consider. And the first one is around data privacy. And there's lots of content around on data privacy, but I think that's one of the kind of macro factors that'll affect personalization. I think consent to capture data and consent to process data is a second one. And things like ITP and data and privacy sandbox are really changing the view of how marketers and how businesses can use data and should use data for tracking purposes. I think consumer sentiment around the concept of data capture and around personalization. I think there's a lot of work to be done around transparency of what you're capturing data for and how you're processing and what it's being used for. I think there's also going to be in the next couple of years, I think a lot of work coming out of the EU and other regulatory bodies around ethics to data and the bias being exposed in data or the bias which is developed happens during the development of models. I think that's probably going to be a really important factor as well. And I think at a level from the consumer, though, consumers want a better digital experience. From all the marketing and the market trends, you see that digitally native brands who are providing a really good experience perform pretty well. I think 2020 was a fantastic opportunity for those businesses to make the most of their digital experience and the work they've put in. But I think the demands will probably continue for continue and be high, I think, for relevant customer experiences. But the factors above around data privacy, consent, ethics, transparency, I think they'll become much more the focus and become much more talking points for consumers. So I don't know. I think there'll still be a demand there, but I think it's incumbent on us as practitioners and as marketers and people who are using data to take those things into account when we're thinking about our long-term roadmaps.
Yeah, it's privacy by design and being very cognizant from the start. And I think what enables people to feel a lot more comfortable with the services, knowing that that's been covered and worked on. You've been listening to the AI Ireland podcast from your host, Mark Kelly. In today's podcast, I've been speaking to Ruan Barry, Director of Consulting at Boxsaver, a Sitecore company. Ruan, thank you very much for your time today.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you very much.